Okay, we are finishing up these six psukim, these five or six psukim, these first six psukim of Perikid Beis, which describes the end of life. A very sobering description of what awaits man at the end of life. Different interpretations of what these things mean. Some commentators, I took no notice, says this only, everything it says here only happens on the last day of life. Not like some people think this can go on for years, or some type of chronic disease which goes on for decades, chas v'shalom. The things that it says here were only meant to happen to a person on the very last day of his life, as his body shuts down and prepares to return, and the neshama prepares to return to olam ha'emes. Or as we said, the other interpretation, that it means that a person should do tshuva when he is alive to prevent any of these things happening. So these things are meant that it should not happen. It should never, not even for a moment. So you basically have three ideas. Either it's a long-term, slow process that can go on for a long time, or it just means these things happen for a very, very short time. Or it means, chas v'shalom, means that these things will never happen. A person, if he merit, will just lie down, close his eyes, and return his neshama to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, we are in the middle thing, the last, the Pasuk, I said we'll go with the Targum. I want to do the Targum one more time. The Targum, Perek Yud-Beis of Pasuk, Perek Yud-Beis, Pasuk, Pasuk Vav, I think, right? Pasuk Hey. We're in the Targum of Pasuk Hey. Let's review that Targum. Af min uvadin hadahavon kad min kad masna. Okay, the Pasuk, I'll read the Pasuk again very quickly. Gam migavo yirohu. We read this very quickly at the end of last Friday. Gam migavo yirohu. At the end of life, a person is afraid of gavoa. We have different interpretations of what that means. Rashi and Targum, afraid of heights, afraid of the din shel maila. V'chaschatim apim perik hey, perik yud beis pasuk hey. Gam migavoa yirohu. A person is afraid of heights, hills on the road, or what awaits him in shemayim. V'chaschatim baderech, terror that lurks on the road. V'yonetz hashakeid. And the shakade, we learned simply that the part of the body which is shakade, which is diligent to protect himself, is now in a state of ni'itza, of hatred. That the immune system, the part of the biology which protects a person from getting ill, has shut down or has decided to abandon the body. Or it means the yonetz hashakade zikna, suddenly blossoms upon a person. Shaked is from the word of shkedim almonds. Yonetz means to blossom. Old age suddenly blossoms upon a person. V'yistabel hechogov. A person is very weak. Either this means that even a grasshopper is considered a burden upon a person's shoulder, or the hechogov comes from the word agabayim. It means the buttocks. The buttocks become very heavy. Or means a person's balance is very weak, just like a chagav, seemingly to the naked eye, cannot balance its weight because the legs are so small. Likewise, a person has difficulty moving because it's hard for him to balance his weight on his legs. And the person no longer has a desire, his understanding is lessened, he becomes senile, or this affair means that he no longer has a taiva lenoshin. A person is now returning to the grave or to the olam ha'emes. The savru v'ashuk ha'soifdim, and the eulogizers begin to make their way to circulate in the street to eulogize the person. So the Targum here says, af min uvodin dahavom in kadmas tana, events, we mentioned with the spokesman last week, events that occur to a person early in his life, way back. A person is afraid to think of things that he has done, things that have happened, they frighten him. Uvodin dahavom in kadmas tana, he is afraid to remember. is afraid to think about all of the events of his life. They frighten him, or they bring him sadness. It's not exactly clear why he is afraid to think about these things. Maybe it means because he has done averos, and he is afraid that he's going to have to give din v'cheshbon for these things, or maybe it means that he just brings him sadness and sorrow. V'gav shol shisha kalila misila be'anpe nafshach leturam be'idon mahalcha be'orcha. And a small little bump on the road appears to a person as a very large mountain as he travels on the road. That's what it means, v'chaschatim baderech. As he walks on the road, it's very frightening. U'sinapetz reish shizrosach min kichishusa kishigda. And a person's joints, he learns here that in the person's spine, in the tip of the spine, there are various joints, and they begin to swell and blossom in old age, which prevents him being able to move his bones as he could in the past. The yisnapchun astivorei ragloch v'sismina min mashkiva. His feet, the yistabel hechogav means his ankles. A new interpretation of the word, the yistabel hechogav, his ankles begin to swell. And he no longer can rest. He can no longer rest his feet. Maybe it means he can no longer stand on his feet because his ankles are swollen. Arum ispini enosha, because at this point in time, a person has begun to turn. Ispini means to turn, enosha man. Limchach leves kivorte, he's beginning to make his descent to the grave. He's like an airplane flying in the air. And the pilot announces, we are now about to make our descent. Fasten your seatbelts. We're now going in for a landing. A person is now, at this point in time, is now turning towards the grave. And here's the part we want to focus on. V'sacharun malachayot tov'ei dinoch kisafrayo. I have over here with the Reish. We discussed this last week. And now the malachi hasharis, they begin to circulate. Who are the Seiftim? The Seiftim over here are not eulogizers in this world. That's not what we're holding over here, maybe because the person is still alive. If the person is still alive, you don't go and make the phone call to hire the services in the chapel until the person already has died. So here, when it says that the eulogizers are now making their circling the market, what it means is in Shamayim, the Malachim are getting ready for the person. They're beginning to bring up his ledger and count his merits and his sins. The Yisacharun Malachayot Tovei Dinoch, the Malachim begin to circulate, who are demanding of Din Kisofrayot, like scribes. Dim Sacharin B'Shuka, like scribes that circulate in the market. L'Nichtav Din V'Chushbonoch, to write down Din and Cheshbon. Okay, now there is a very interesting Or HaChayim in Parshas Nitzavim. I mean, this has drawn the attention of many people. This Or HaChayim, where he says, in fact, there are different girsois. And many good chumashim is a shemach machleg, is what the girsa is. But it says that a person has the ability to sense that he is dying. A person subconsciously knows that he's going to leave this world either 30 or 40 days before he dies. Okay, with 30 you would say it's a month, but what's the significance of the number 40? Because 40 is the same amount of time that a person prepares to come to this world. Chazal said that until 40 days from the time of conception, for the first 40 days, in the woman, it's just maya ba'alma. It's not considered to be a viable. It's not considered to have life, and that's why in halacha, the law as far as abortion, it doesn't even begin until 40 days. There is seemingly no prohibition for a woman to do something to prevent. I mean, I don't know ethically, morally, but I don't know the problem, so I shouldn't say. But basically, until 40 days, what it seems is it's maya ba'alma. It's not considered to be life. Only after 40 days, then you get into various issues, then the halacha is it viewed to be a moment in time where already the neshama has begun to descend into this creature, into this formation that has formed in the mother's womb. So therefore the commentators take note that zel umazel bara elokim, just like 40 days in advance the neshama it's a 40 day process for the neshama to begin to descend into the guf, likewise it's a 40 day process for the neshama to begin to end. That 40 days, or Chaim says 40 days was the naked calculation of Moshe Rabbeinu when he was speaking to Klal Yisrael. Exactly at one point in time, there's a calculation of all the psukim of how much time when Moshe began to speak. He began the Mishnah Torah there's a calculation of exactly how many days he began Mishnah Torah, but the last 40 days is a different tone in Moshe Rabbeinu's Mishnah Torah, because those last 40 days already his neshama began to ascend to find its Makom Menucha in Gan Eden. So the commentators say they take note, that's really what over here the Targum is trying to allude to. So the Targum is a little bit different than Rashi and the Mitzudos. From Rashi and the Mitzudos we get the impression that the person already has died. When it says in the pasuk, ki ha'ilecha adam el beis olamo, that's death. The person already has descended. They have lowered the body into the grave. The body already has, the person has died. And now, after he's died, he's buried. V'savu v'ashuk ha'soifdim, this is the funeral. The funeral is in process, and the eulogizers have come forth to deliver divrei hesped. Pasuk Vav is describing what happens to the body in the grave. The body decomposes, and it's a very long process for the body to decompose. That's why the spine in the grave begins to shrivel. It turns into what looks like a chain. The sarid skulas hazov, and the brain, according to the mitzudos, the brain matter, which until now had a reddish appearance, begins. It swells and explodes. The sishaver kad al hamabua, and the gallbladder also swells, and the bile falls back into the liver. All of these things, v'naretz hagagal el habar, and the skull is being lowered, or el habar. We analyze the psukim, but according to what the impression you get from pasuk vav is that everything in pasuk vav was happening to the body already after the time of death, and the moment of the transition between the difficulty of the end of life, of old age, and death is the words ki ha'lecha adam el beis olamo. That's the moment of death. The body is now being lowered into the base olamo, into the grave. Targum differs. The Targum seems to say, at least in Pasuk, that the person is still alive. It's 30 days before death. It's 40 days before death. A person already has a sense that he's going to die. And this, you see this, you hear these stories very often, you go to a Levaya at the time of the Hesped, they say that the person already started talking, saying all these strange things. What? Premonition, that's what it's called, premonition. They start talking, and you get the sense that the person already is in another world. The person already is in communication with the Olam HaEmes, and that's why he is speaking and he's doing things which are different. Because the neshama already 30 days before death, a critic can have that sense. And that's what it says here, exactly what the Targum is going out of his way to do. When it says here, Ki ha'ilecha adam el beis olamo, it does not mean that he has died. He's now turning towards death. It's 30 days, as the Aruch Chaim says, or it's 40 days. He's torn, and now when it says the Sov Vashuk HaSoiftim, it does not mean that the eulogizers are here. You don't call the eulogizers to come forward until after the person already has died, and it's the Levaya. But it means that the Malachi HaShares, already 30, 40 days in advance, are already making preparations. They're opening up the ledgers, they are setting up the court, and they're preparing in Shemayim for the new arrival that they are awaiting. So it's a very different flavor, and seemingly what he's doing over here is he's by changing the Soifdim to the Malachi HaShares, making calculations, coming to answer that question, because the Targum does not want to say the person has yet died. The person is still alive, but already the process has begun. Okay, now let's go to Pasuk Vav. Pasuk Vav says, Ad Asher Lo Yirasek, so we already read the Pasuk. Now let's see how the Targum translates this Pasuk. Ad Lo Yisalam Lishach, before Milimalolo, before the tongue can no longer speak. Okay, so he has a whole new interpretation. The word Yirasek, the word Asher Lo Yirasek, Chevel HaKesef, the Chevel HaKesef, he translates as the rope of silver is the tongue. That's a whole new interpretation, very different than anything we've had until now. ad lo yisalam lishanach mi le malala.
Right.
This is your concept?
Right, yeah.
A silver, so that's where it comes from. A smooth talker.
William Jennings Bryan.
So it must, it has to then be that that expression comes from here. Okay, it has to be that that expression of a silver tongue is taken from the Hevel HaKesef according to the Targum's interpretation. Because everything we learned until now, Rashi in the Mitzvah says this refers to the spine. The Hevel HaKesef is the white, the rope of silver. The spine is white. And silver has a whitish color, and the Yerosek we learn is from the word of a chain, that the spine begins to shrivel. But he learns that a person should do tshuva while his mouth still functions. Interesting, that's the sign of life. Vayipach pe'apof nishmas chayim. The famous Targum, the person was a ruach min malala. The koyach of life is captured in the expression of speech. The first thing the doctor is looking to hear at the time of Oleda is to hear the baby produce sound. The baby does not produce sound when it comes out. Not that it doesn't happen, I'm sure it happens, the babies don't cry when they come out, but that's a sign, that is the koyach
to
make sure. To hear the sound. It's the koyach of life is to hear sound. And here we're dealing with the last pasuk. It's totally easy. So here this is what the pasuk says.
You can't breathe unless you can't make the sound unless you breathe. Let's say somebody gets, you have to do a Heimlich maneuver. The person can't tell you because it's blocked.
Right.
Okay, so that's that.
Move the glasses, you know.
If that would be correct, it only should be true if when women are born. Okay. Ad the lo yis alam lishanaf mile malala usehiya mokra dereshech. And the next expression is that the head should be soft. Before Usaheiriya Mokoro Dere Sheikh, that when a person dies, this sorutz means to be crushed, the gulas hazahav is the skull. Now this is very fascinating because this is exactly what Chazal say about birth. At the time when a child is born, the tinuk shall the moyach shall tinuk is roifes, is soft, in order that it can bend. Right?
The skull.
It's soft, so when the child comes out of the mother's womb, in case there's not enough room where there typically isn't, it should be able to bend to slip out.
Yeah, you see the heads in a newborn baby, some of them, when the mother has a narrow pelvis, it looks like a banana head. It actually
bent.
It becomes elongated.
So this is the neflois habayre that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put in a shock absorber into the brain in order that it can expand and shrink. It can make its way out of the womb. So, and Chazal used this in part of the head in reference to tefillin. That where is the upper limit of wearing the tefillah shel roish? The upper limit is the mokoim shemoyach shel tinoik is roifes, the part roifes. So here we're describing death. According to Targum, it's amazing what he's doing. He's saying death is an exact parallel to life. When a child comes out of the mother's womb, the first thing you want to hear is a sound. That's the sign of life. When a child comes out of the mother's womb, it has a soft skull so that it can maneuver, it can come out of the womb. Here, when a person in old age, when he dies, he loses the koyach hadibur, and then naturally the skull once again becomes soft. That's what it says. Usehe ri'i'a mokra dereshach. The mokra, the brain, or the skull of the head becomes weak, becomes soft, parallel to life. Next, v'sitbar nirersoch al kavdoch. This he interprets the same exact interpretation as Rashi and the Mitzudos. One of the commentators is that the bile, it's also jaundice, it's also the same thing, that the nirersoch is the gallbladder. It breaks, it shatters upon the liver. So isn't that what happens when the baby is born? And while the baby is in the mother's womb, the one that's providing, cleaning its blood is the mother. And when the baby is born, what has to kick in? The liver of the baby. And that's why many children, we discussed this about bris milah, many children, they cannot have a bris milah on time because they have a jaundice, a yellowish complexion. Because the liver of the baby is not yet functioning 100%. So look what's happening over here. When the person is dying, everything is being reversed. The bile that collects, the bile and the liver, these two organs which function together, are now shutting down. And now he says the guf now descends, it's shattered in the grave. So here indeed he comes to the very last words, the narots havgalalabar. See, he makes what he has done, the targum is a lot, answers the question of what Rashi and the Mitzudas have failed to do. Why the repetition? The narots havgalalabar, havgalgal means the skull is going into the pit. Why? How is that different than the pasuk in pasuk hey ki halecha adam el beis oilamo? The targum has answered in pasuk vav ki halecha adam el beis oilamo does not mean that he has yet died. It means that's already 30-40 days before death, and the person already gets the sense, I know where I'm going. He has that supernatural sense, like the Aruch Chaim says. And here in pasuk vav, he actually describes the moment of death when the person's body descends until the pit. Okay, so this is the targum. It's just fascinating, as we mentioned, that over here this pasuk vav is an exact, seems to be a parallel to the moment of life. Life is always the koyach hadibo, you hear the baby cry. The life is when the baby's skull is soft so it can get out. In order for the baby to come into this world, the moyach has to be soft so it can make its way in. And we always wait for a bris milah to make sure the liver is functioning. The color of the baby is not 100% because there's a transition from the mother cleaning its blood, doing the function of the liver, until the baby's liver itself kicks in. And exactly those three things, which are essentials in the beginning of life, are shutting down now at the end of life. The person's dibur is becoming muted, person's skull is turned becoming soft, and his liver is shutting down. And the moment of death, the cycle. It's a zelu umazeh bar elokim. It's a cycle. Especially according to the Archaim, 40 days before creation, the baskol is yotzeis, and 40 days before death, the person senses that it's now time to depart. Okay. Now we go, so this is the end. Now, before we further, now, by the way, this pasuk that we just read, the El Abar, is the end of Sefer Koheles. We can make a scene today, a nice big party. The next pasuk, according to... I'm sorry. One more pasuk. Pasuk Zayin really is the seam of Sefer Koheles.
The rest,
it's a big question, who wrote the rest of the Sefer? Rashi, it seems, Shlomo HaMelech himself wrote from pasuk Ches to the very end. Havel, Havlim, Amarkos, Hakol. And some say that Chizkiyahu HaMelech Visiyoso, or maybe even the Anshei Knesset HaGadol, it's not clear, they wrote the end of Sefer Koheles as a summary. But again, so it's really, it's just like a summary of what do we take out of Sefer Koheles. We go back and we review the synopsis and the main messages. So this, we're coming down now to the real end, the description of a person's death. Okay, now before we go further, read the last post, I want to mention there are some other ideas that the commentators mention here. One I found to be particularly interesting, where it says, go back to Pasuk Gimel. The day when the guardians of the house falter, and the warriors, they falter, they become crooked, which we learn the teeth, and the seers in the window are dark. So we had different interpretation of what this means, but here he says this refers to a person's friend and family. And what does this mean? When a person gets old, the first one to go, the Shermei Habayis, are the children. Empty nest. When a person is young, he has in the house teeming with children, infants, adolescents, teenagers. So they're the Shermei Habayis. You don't have to be home. You're at work, the house, there's always someone in the house. There's always children, there's always life. But our house is alive with children. They are called, we're calling them homiletically the Shomer HaBayis. Person gets older, he's zoicha to marry off all of his children. The house is empty. Empty nest. It's lonely. Gets very quiet at home. So b'yom, on that day, sheyazuhu means to falter or to shake. And we're not going to translate it. Literally, shomer habayis, that's already a stage of life where a person has to recognize he's getting older. His children are out of the house. Then it comes to this, avsu anshei hechoyel. Who are the anshei hechoyel? These are a person's friends. Anshei hechoyel, the warriors. Because, and then you get a little bit older, your friends, they retire and they move to Florida. They make aliyah, or they spend all their days with their children and their grandchildren. They're not home anymore. They used to be on the block. They were neighbors for Shabbos. Everyone is here. The Anshei HaChoyel, the warriors of the block, of the home, they're no longer here. Then it says, Botlu HaToychanos Kimeyetu, and this is very frightening. It says, a person's wife is no longer the same. It's not the same. The relationship in old days, Rachman L'Stone, when whatever this means, is that get kimyetu, the toichanos means to the grinder. The woman is in charge, the ikeres habayis, a wife provides.
Anyone with expertise know what it means?
What?
I'm asking if anyone with expertise knows what it means.
Toichanos kimyetu, it's an illusion that a person at the end of life, it's the relationship with his wife due to old age and illness is not the same type of partnership, because each one has their issues, medical issues or frailty, things like that. And then the last thing, v'choshchu haraos bo'arubos, is that the person himself loses, he's no longer, his mind is no longer as it used to be. He himself now, he himself is not the same person. He doesn't have like the interest, the motivation, the youth that he once possessed. So it's a very interesting homiletic interpretation of the pasuk. This is recited by the Eish HaMizbeach. He quotes here every sefer you can dig up, the Areshes, the Sarasi Bamedinos. I never heard of the sefer, the Eish HaMizbeach. He takes his pasuk and he says it refers to the various stages of a person's life. To review, the Shomer HaBayis are the children. It doesn't necessarily mean bad. It's not a bad thing. It's just a life cycle. The Shomer HaBayis, the children are married out of the house. It's avsuad sheichol. Your neighbors, they move away. They go to other locations. Balu hatochnos kimietu. A person's wife is not 18 years old anymore. It's not easy for the wife, a person's wife, to be able to host the guests and put up the grandchildren when you're 99 years old, like you were able to do when you were 40 years old, whatever the situation is. It's not the same anymore. And then it says, V'choshchu hara'os v'arubos, your own seichel. You no longer remember things the way you used to. You no longer are sharp. You no longer can run and are vibrant like you used to. This is the cycle of life. Okay. Okay, so this let's now go to the last pasuk. The last pasuk is of life is v'yashoyev. Okay, this is the frightening pasuk v'yashoyev ha'afar al aretz kishahaya. And now up to the pasuk zayin. Now we're coming to the last pasuk of the sefer v'yashoyev ha'afar al aretz kishahaya v'haruach toshuv el holokim asher nisana. A very nice way to end the sefer. A very nice way than the sefer, the end of life. The offer, the earth, returns to the earth. Kisha hoya, like it was originally. Man is the product of the earth. Offer min hu adama. And the neshama returns el hu elokim asher nisna, who has given the neshama to the guf. Let's take a look at the Metsudos David, Pasik Zayin. V'yashov he'ofar, ha'guf shehoya me'ofar, the guf, the body, shehu me'ofar, ki techilas yitziras ha'adam harishon hoya me'ofar. Me'adam came from ofar, yashov oz el oretz, now returns to the earth. So referring over here to Adam harishon. Okay, the interesting why he has to make mention of Adam Rishon, the truth is it applies to every single person. Every single person, but being that every single person goes back to Adam Rishon, that's where he came from. And it will now be transformed. Liyos Ofar turns into dust. At the time of the beginning of creation, from the source from which it was quarried above, El Holokim Asher Nisanolo Bal Haleda to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that has given the Eis Haleda, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given the Neshama the time when a person is born. Okay, notice those choice words. The Neshama comes to a person at the time of Leda. Is that really the word true? Is that really halakhically the way we understand things to be? I don't think so. I think most people will assume that the neshama already is present at the time of at least 40 days after conception, when you can feel a heartbeat, when the doctor can hear the heartbeat. So that means there's a neshama inside the mother's womb. The malach is teaching the neshama Torah. So obviously there are different madregos. There are different madregos in the neshama. Just like we know there are five. There's different. There's the yechida, nefesh, neshama, ruach. There are different types of aspects of the neshama. There is a degree of neshama that comes at the time of Leda. Rashi, pasuk zayin v'yashuv he'afar. So Rashi, pasuk zayin, is continuing the medrash agada, and he says mibavel bahu lebavel chazaru the ruach tashuv zuruach hakodesh shekevish nistalka ruach hakodesh galu. Once the ruach once the person, the Klal Yisrael, has gone into Galus, we came from Bavel, we came from Aram Naharayim, from Ur Kasdim, and the Klal Yisrael, when the Bayis Rishon was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar Melech Bavel, we went back from where we came from. We came from Bavel, the Guf, we went back to Bavel. And at that point, moment in time, the Ruach HaKodesh that was given to us in Eretz Yisrael went back to Shemayim. It was nistalik from us, the Ruach HaKodesh Shekemach nistalka. Once the Guf has departed to Bavel, Ruach HaKodesh Golu, likewise the Ruach HaKodesh has been exiled back to where it came from, Shemayim. Okay, so that is Rashi. The Targum, Pasuk Zayin, says...
That what it means.
Oh, okay. Look, Golu, the Guf. The Guf has been... Kevin... Zu Ruach HaKodesh. Kevin Shnestalka. You want to put the comma. Ruach HaKodesh, Golu, the Guf was Golu? Okay, you want to say that the Hashem took away the Ruach HaKodesh from the male. You're reversing the order then. It's reversing the order. The Yashav Yafar Al-Aretz Kishaya. Why? Because the Ruach Toshov El Elokim Asher Nisana. Because the Ruach HaKodesh was Niskalus. Okay, so they both go together. Which the exact order, there must be something very deep, I don't know. Okay, but in Echanami, the two are totally Zebezeh. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes back the Ruach HaKodesh, then the Guf goes into Galus, went into Bavel. Okay, the Targum, Pasuk Zayin, the last Pasuk, Visuv Bisroch, the Ibrei Min Afra Alara, your flesh. The Shrach who interchange the Samach and the Sin will return. That was created from the earth. From the earth will turn Al Ara, will return to the earth. Heichma Dahava Milikadmin, the place from where it originated. The Ruach Nish Misach, Tisub will return Limkom to. Now here he adds something very frightening into the pasuk. Does not say this. Ruach nishmasach tesub will return limkom bedina, to stand in judgment. Kadam Hashem diyavach loch, that has given it to you. So he adds in the last pasuk. According to the Targum, is watch out. A person is going to have to give din v'cheshbon for everything that he did in this world after it returns. Okay, now this pasuk, there is a tradition. There is a tradition that this pasuk, that a person's neshama does not return to Shemayim fully until his body decays. And that is why we do things. There are different minhagim among different chevra kadisha in order to accelerate the decomposition of the body. So some people, they will actually, some chevras, they take out the body out of the coffin because they it's a what?
Take The only reason they leave him in the coffin is because of sanitary laws which should change.
I've been to many funerals in Kavuas. I've noticed they're all different types of customs. Sometimes they take out the bottom board, sometimes they completely take apart the coffin, and most of the time I've seen they don't do anything. And sometimes it appears that the different types of coffins, some of the coffins have on the bottom a big slit. A big slit where basically the body is anyway in contact with the earth.
You don't see what they do is...
I watch.
When the guy goes down, he puts his hands in.
They don't always go down. Sometimes they don't always. Sometimes I've been. They just lower it.
Unfortunately, it's a lot, and I've seen. I just when I was still young in yeshiva, and I was carrying the coffin, I realized as I was putting it down, and it was like that. I was holding on to his leg. I didn't, I was grabbing on, trying to get a better grip, and I realized I was holding the nifter's leg.
Because on the bottom it's open.
And then when I came home, I told my father, like I said, I never experienced that. But I realized it.
There are many different.
Eretz Yisrael,
they have a very different system. They have a very different system. It's a much how it's done. Okay, the body is not covered with earth. The body that they put on top of it, if I'm not mistaken, they put their stones and they put on top of a cement board. The body, by what I've seen, I can't. There are probably different customs, but the body is many put in the ground, and the graves are shallow. They're not like in America where it's 6 feet. In America, they're six feet, very very deep. In Eretz Yisrael, they're not as deep. It's a lot less shallow. It's as shallow. The body is rested on the ground in the talus or in for noshim. It's in a sheet. It's in a sheet, but the tachrich, besides tachrich, they wrap the sheet and a rest. And there are bricks on the side, and then they put a cement board. Like a cement board on top, and then they put earth on top. So the body is not, the body is touching the ground, but the body is in the very bakovedik of, is in the very, it's not buried above with earth. There's a cement board which is mafsik.
Put the board on top,
that covers
when
it
you
over.
Throw the dirt on it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're throwing the dirt on the...
On the body. So the dirt does not go on the body.
So they always put something on top.
They put a cement board which rests on bricks on both sides. So the body is not... The body is touching the girth. But the body is not buried in earth. In America, they don't do that. In America, I've seen some chavers, they actually take the body out of the coffin. They take the coffin apart.
The top over.
No, they don't. I've seen that they did not do that. I've seen... There are so many different customs and different things, and probably there are laws also. There are a lot of the things they probably were probably illegal. I would imagine probably according to law, it has to be in a box.
Well, they changed the law. It used to be they had to be in a box.
Yeah.
And in the beginning, they would ask everybody to please look away, and someone would illegally go down and open it.
Yeah. And now they changed the law. So.
But they changed the law.
Uh-huh.
You don't have to be buried in a box at all.
Uh-huh. Okay, so there are different customs. Every chevra has a tradition, but a lot of it is rooted in what it says in this pasuk. The pasuk here says, "V'yoshav he'afar al ha'aretz kishahaya v'ruach toshuv elokim asher nesan." There's a condition: the ruach cannot fully return to the ribbono shel olam until the body turns into offer. The body has to decompose and turn into offer, and when it's offer, then the neshama can return. There's a tradition that in Mitzrayim, the Egyptians, this is why they embalmed their bodies, their dead. Right. Because they knew good and well where they were going. They were going to not a good place. So it says, I think the Aruch Chaim writes that. Look in the Mikros Gadolos, they write this. Why? What's this Mishagas? They're bombing the body. What do they do exactly? Bombing? Because they wanted to outsmart the Ribbono Shel Olam. They knew that they've committed the most heinous, the worst sins possible, and they were going to Gehenim. So, but I'm only going to go to the Shema, is only going to go to Olam HaEmes after the body decomposes. But if you can permanently preserve the body, and you can prevent what it says in this pasuk, v'yashov he'afar al ha'aretz, the offer will not return to the earth, I can rest in peace, then it will never be fulfilled, v'ruach toshov el elokim asher nisana, especially according to the Targum. The Egyptians do what it says in the Targum. The Targum says, then you'll stand in din. The din for the neshama only comes when the neshama goes to Shemayim. But when the neshama is still trapped in the body, then there's no din. The neshama is resting in peace in the grave in the guf. So just prevent the guf from decomposing, prevent the fulfillment of yashav ha'far al aretz kishahaya, and then you won't have to worry about din v'cheshbon. So therefore they had the most advanced techniques in embalming and preserving the body, which is a fascinating thing how it's done. Through the nose to remove all the bottom, the fluids, and then they would add different things, and that was their thing. You'll ask me the question: what about Yaakov Avinu? Yaakov Avinu, they also embalmed his body, so that is a very tough question. Yaakov Avinu loymes. I mean, what does it mean exactly by Yaakov Avinu? What, his neshama was prevented from going, according to these rules, the neshama was prevented from going to Shemayim? I don't know. The question is really better than all the different answers. But but we know we have a tradition that Adarabah, it is a mile of the body should decompose quickly. Now, on the other hand, we have these different stories that tzaddikim, their bodies do not decompose. And there are many stories where they've reinterred various the tzaddikim, and the body was, they said, the eyewitness testimony. Eyewitness test, what? The Vilna Gaon. Okay, the Vilna Gaon. Where is he buried, the Vilna Gaon? In Vilna.
Originally in Vilna.
And they, where is he now?
I think he's still around there.
But they reinterred, they moved. Okay.
Rabbi Simon, the guy who gives all the lectures, he said about the building that the people from the Chevrat Kadisha didn't say that the body was whole, that the flesh was there. He said that the bones were not out of order.
Right.
That the bones were...
skeleton.
The skeleton intense. Was...
I heard that.
Not necessarily attached, but it was in the same way. You would
see position. I heard this from Professor Lyman.
Yeah.
Five fit people saw the same, including Rabbi Teitz. His skeleton was intact.
Who?
The Vilna Gaon.
The Vilna Gaon.
His flesh was entirely decomposed, but the.
The skeleton was perfectly intact.
Perfectly, yeah. There were just five people that were.
But so that was fulfilled the Yashav of Ha'afar. The Afar is no longer. There's Afar and there are the Atzah. Okay, but this is the principle. This is a very important principle in the laws of Jewish tradition, that the body should be buried, and the body should be buried in a way that allows it to naturally decompose in order to fulfill the next part of the pasuk, the Ruach Toshuv Elokim Asher Nisana. So you'll ask the question, what about cremation? What's so terrible then? Cremation. If you could do cremation, so you're causing the offer to decompose even quicker.
To speed up the process.
What, it's afer. Offer and the Chazal Darshan. Offer and afer is the same. Okay, I don't know. I do not. I don't know. Obviously, it's connected. Kol HaTarakula.
It's right, but
yeah. What did he say?
Shabbos says that cremation, the body doesn't hurt from cremation.
The body is not disturbed.
No, it's not painful. If you have enough time, I'll show you now. The Matzis HaShego brings down a Chubus HaRajba.
But he's not advocating, that's for sure not.
No, it's not. But he says it's nothing.
Okay. Achmanus on the Holocaust, the crematoria, I mean, this is a... it's a horror. So, obviously, it's I don't know the problem, but it's connected to Kol HaRakula. To allow a cremation, people fight this tooth and nail to prevent chas v'shalom a person's body from being cremated. Okay, let's see. Okay, this now there are a few other short ideas. Okay, now there is a medrash which says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not take ribis. There, Hashem says, I've lent the body, I'll read you the words, Davar Acher, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ukama Hilvesi Li Yisrael Ve'eni Noitel Ribis. Learn from me. Hashem says, I've lent you the neshama. The neshama is the chelek melokan imal. I've given you the neshama, I've given it to the guf. I've let you have this neshama for 120 years. And now, when it comes time for me to take back what I have lent you, do I take back more? I don't take anything back. I only take back what I've given. The body is returned completely to the earth and decomposes. The particles of dust return to where they've come from. And the only thing Hashem takes back is what He has given. From this, we should learn that when we lend our fellow Jews money,
we should only take back when the time comes what we have given them and not take from them ribis. Okay, anachu you can do love ribis, but not amakol shprachu who kam lechalesi lishol ve'eni noitel ribis. Uma hil v'sa eretz ve'eni noit uma hil v'sa eretz livru echa ve'eni noitel shus the earth also. Elani noitel es akaren shel v'esi v'hi noitel es akaren shelo. Each partner takes back what they have contributed, as the pasuk says, "V'yashayv ha'far al aris kishehoya v'ruach toshuv elokim asher nisana." So this is a musar haskel in our business transactions. It's gzeres hakasev. There are multiple asays and lois asays teaching the laws of ribis, and this is one of the amamori agada that ties into that concept. Okay, now let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk ches havel. So here we conclude the sefer. The sefer now is havel havelim. Amar HaKoheles HaKol Havel. The Mitzudos makes it very clear. He touched upon the Midrash and tells us that this is not written from the words of Shlomo. Yitochein. It is very possible. And he's quoting from his collection of Midrashim. She'ele divrei hamatik es ha-sefer. That these words are from the one that is recording the words of the sefer. This is not part of the original book of Shlomo HaMelech. V'yomar hine HaMelech Shlomo HaMaasef HaDeos HaNinagos. Shlomo HaMelech who gathered the divergent ideas, contradictory ideas. In this sefer, there are many ideas which contradict one another, but they all come together. We have to find the proper balance and reconciliation between different contradictory statements. Yofer Hizer, he was very beautifully, he warned us, Le'ha'avil es ha'avolim, to declare futile all of the vanities of this world. That remember, this is a package. It's like a sandwich, because the beginning of the sefer, this was the very beginning of the sefer, pasuk beis, divrei kohelas ben David melech b'Yerushalayim, pasuk beis, havel havolim amar kohelas havel havolim hakol havel. That was the opening pasuk. The pasuk aleph is only really a introduction. The real first pasuk of the sefer is pasuk beis. So now, when the sefer is over, we package the sefer nicely in the same exact words: havel havelim, amar hakoheles hakol havel. Now he said very eloquently, yafe hizer lahavil es havelim, oisam sheheim hakol havel. Those things which are certainly havel, shaloiba mehem tachlis roi v'yakar, nothing of futility, nothing of value, and of substance will come. And then he says in parentheses, it goes out saying that if you have something in this world and you use it for a purpose, of course that something should be admired, should be cherished. You'll find something good and valuable. Since the end of man is inevitable, since over here the pasuk include, the end of the sefer include, that man is going to die. The end is, all of these things happen to a person and he ends up, his neshama returns to where he has come from. So therefore in this world, all of the materialistic pursuits of this world is nothing more than futility, and it's enes. We're coming now, the one that is coming to review the sefer, which we have to assume is Chizkiyahu. Chizkiyahu HaMelech had a major impact on the Chof Dalet Sifrei Tanakh, in the selection of what would be included in the Tanakh and what's not included, the Sifrei Chitzoinim. So he seemingly he's one who said this. Nisamet Amor Bereishis Advarim HaHavel HaVolim. He's coming to say that it's Emes V'Yoshua, what it says in the beginning of the Sefer HaHavel HaVolim. Now let's see Rashi. Now Rashi disagrees. Rashi seems to hold that the one that said these words is none other than Shlomo HaMelech himself. Ani Roye Bo'olam Omar HaKoheles, Mi Sheboy Kivutza Sachachma. Rashi is very, very clear. I disagree with this approach, that it's someone else. Ani, it is I Koheles. I see in this world that everything is futile. Omar HaKoheles, Mi Sheboy Kivutza Sachachma. He's calling himself Koheles, means to collect, gathering. I have possessed all world knowledge. Havel Havalim, Kol ma shenivra b'sheishas himei habreishas. Everything that exists from the time of creation, everything is futile, worthless. The sheish except for Shabbos. Shabbos is done. Now the big question over here is, here it says the words, it says only four times. Havel is one. Havolim. Havolim is plural, so that's three. 2 plus 1 is 3. Amar HaKoheles. HaKol Hovel is 4. In the beginning of the Sefer, it says 7. Havel is 1. Havolim is 2. That's 3. Amar HaKoheles. Havel Havolim again. Another 3. That's a total of 6. HaKol Hovel is 7. So the question is, why in the beginning of the Sefer does it say the word Hevel 7 times? And why at the end of the Sefer, when we are summarizing whether it's Shlomo HaMelech himself who made the summary, who actually made the summary, or it is Chizkiyahu, or it's some other author who put the, why don't we actually have an exact quote from the beginning of the Sefer? Wouldn't it be nice to package it nicely? The end of the Sefer would repeat the pasuk, Havel Havlim Amar Koheles, Havel Havlim HaKol Hovel. What happened to the parallel? Yes.
Did you deduce anything in pasuk Ches, Koheles spelled
with a hey?
No, with a vav also. And the beginning.
HaKoheles. Okay. Why is the vav? Why is it mole? Okay.
Beginning of Koheles, Divrei Koheles.
Okay, so the Mefarshim discuss why there is a hey. So one answer they give is the vav. So maybe it's really totally zebezay. It's a greater. It's the collective noun is emphasized. It's like in pasuk beis when we're first starting the sefer. It's just Koheles. It's Koheles Shlomo HaMelech. The lowercase. This is my assessment. After I've given the shiur, now I really understand what I'm saying. Now I can say it with the fullness. It's like the only way to learn something is to teach. When you teach it, you give it over, you gain incredible clarity. So we start the sefer, Koheles, I presented a shiur. I'm prepared, I have what to say. But when you finish saying the shiur, then the degree of clarity and the degree of bringing together the ideas is infinitely greater. My father always used to tell me, he had 3 drashas every Shabbos. The drasha he prepared, the drasha he said, and the drasha he wrote down after Shabbos was over. When you prepare something, you have one mahalich. When you give it over, dynamically, it changes. As you're speaking, you now have new insights and you adapt as you're speaking. And then when you want to record it and put it in writing, you have even greater clarity and the ideas are crystallized and they're refined. It's a different idea. So when Shlomo started this Sefer, he gave a speech, State of the Union Address. Speak to Klal Yisrael. I have my notes. No teleprompters in those days. So he got up to give his drasha, Koheles, I want to present you the full body of knowledge. And after he got to the end of the Sefer, it's now not just Koheles, it's Ha Koheles, with a Bvav, it's Mole, not Choser. The Hey Hayidia, I have now possessed the entire body of knowledge. That's one idea that I saw. Another idea is the Hey Hayidia, and it could be the Vav also, refers to the Shechina. In the beginning of the Sefer, Shlomo is saying, this is my own Chochma. At the end of the Sefer, he's saying, the Shechina is speaking, that the Shechina is giving its stamp of approval. That everything that has been presented here by HaKoheles, the complete body of knowledge, is MS V'Yashar, is 100% correct. The Hey HaYidiyah, the Hey is the letter that represents the Shechina, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It represents, and the Vav also maybe Hey Vav of the 2 letters of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ho, Yud-Kei, Vav-Kei. Yud-Kei, Yismuchu Hashem, Yud-Kei, Vav-Kei, Vav-Kei, the 2 letters of the Shemus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem here is giving a stamp of approval that the words of this Sefer are 100% on the mark, are 100% accurate.
You just said the Malbim says that exactly.
Which idea? The first and the second?
You just said now.
The Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, the Shechina. This is Haskama. Haskama from the Ribbono Shel Olam.
Like he edited the Sefer, I agree with everything.
Hashem is speaking, yeah.
Didn't you say last week that I think one Perek is really a combination, two program are really one Perek, I think it's Aleph and your Beis?
We don't really know. I mean, you can say it all along, but this is different. This clearly, according to the commentators, is a summary.
Yeah, if it's a combination, so Hey and Vav is 11. So it's 11 Prokem there, maybe instead of 12. The Matria there from the Hey and Vav.
He's saying this paragraph, there are only 11 paragraphs. Okay, well, the paragraphs, the chapter breaks are not really of Jewish origin. Okay, but you said the number 11. So that's something I didn't want to talk about, is that Shlomo Melech over here, at the end, only has four Havolim, and in the beginning of the Sefer, there are seven. So this is a very popular question, why the change from seven to four? So one answer is that at the beginning of the Sefer, we're referring to the Havolim of Maaseh Bereishis. In fact, it's a popular Midrash. When we entered the Midrash at length, when we started the Sefer, all the Havolim of all 7 days of Maaseh Bereishis. On the first day, Hashem created the Shemayim Ba'aretz. And what happened? What happened to the Shemayim? It started off, Shemayim ke'oshon nimlochu v'aretz kabeged tivle. In Yeshayah, it says, at the end of days, the heaven will dissipate like smoke. It's going to disappear. And the earth, like a garment, will wear out. Global warming. Global warming is causing the world, if it's true or not, it's causing the world too. The world, the earth, the heaven and the earth, the atmosphere and the environment is coming to disintegrate. The second day is the Rakia. And the Rakia, Vinagolu, Kasefer, Hashman, the heaven will roll up. And the Midrash goes on and shows that all of the things that were created in the 7 days of creation at the end of days will just disintegrate. And then the Medrash says, what about Shabbos? Can you say that Shabbos, from the creation of Yom HaShvi, that's also going to disintegrate? And very frighteningly, the Medrash says that, yeah, and even on Shabbos, it's because we're not observant of the Shabbos as the way we should, Hashem, let me find what is over here. A person transgresses the laws of Shabbos, and that's why he said Gam Zehovel refers to Shabbos. That is a very great tragedy that we have abused the gift of Shabbos. So every single one of the seven, the reason why there are seven words references to heaven in Pasuk Base in the beginning of the Sefer refers to the 7 days of creation. Why are there four? The four Yesoidos. This world was created with four different primary elements of matter. What, anyone know what they are? Eish, Mayim,
fire, earth, wind, fire, water.
So those are the four elements of creation. And those are also Hevel. That's why the Midrash says, it says four at the end, time and matter. Okay, so I guess it's focusing on the first 7 days of creation is time, timeless Hevel. And the end of the Sefer, we mentioned four Havalim, is a reference to matter. Matter is also Hevel. Okay, another idea is that 7 plus 4 equals 11. And what it means to say is the number 11 is the number of Hevel. What is significant about the number of 11? 11 is the number for Esav. Klal Yisrael captures the number 12. Klal Yisrael has 12 Shvatim. Esav has 11 Alufim. 11 is not a good number. Not just because of 9-11, but 11 is not in Chazal, it's a number which represents the koyach of Esav. For example, in the Beis HaMikdash, how many Amos were there behind the Kodesh HaKodashim and the wall of the Azara? 11 Amos. Why were there 11 Amos? The Lechor, if you build the building, the Mishkan should have been put up against the wall of the Azara. Those 11 Amos seem to be empty, wasted space. What's the purpose of having 11 Amos behind the Heichel and the wall of the Azara? That is the Koyach of Esav. Esav is right behind. It's a reminder. If we don't behave, we don't do what we're supposed to do, we have to worry that Esav, the Hoya Kasher Torid, Uforak ulo mi'al tzavarecha. The koyach, Yitzchak Avinu gave Esav the koyach, you will stand there and serve as a warning for, what do we say?
A guard, a
warning for Klal Yisrael that they better make sure they are meticulous in mitzvahs. And therefore there are 11 Amos behind the Kodesh HaKodashim and the wall of the Azara. Who is in that 11 Amos? The number 11 is the 11 Alufim of Esa V'choya Kasher Torid U'farakta Ulo Mi'al Tzavarecha. Last week's parsha. When did Yaakov Avinu decide it's time now he can pack up and go back and when who was born? When Yosef was born. What is the significance of Yosef? Yosef is number 11. The nemesis of Esav. But why? It's not just that he's a nemesis, because Yosef now was mashlum the number 11. What's 11? Because Esav has 11. So now I'm a match. Yaakov, when he came back to Eretz, he was given the bracha of being number 12 of Binyamin. Binyamin, and upon the Binyamin is the makam of the Beis Hamikdash, the makam of the Shechina rest of Bein Kesef of Shachain. But Yaakov did not need Binyamin to return. Yaakov just had to be a match. Now that Esav, the Koyach of Esav, it's captured in the number 11, whatever that means exactly, I don't know the significance. And Yaakov Avinu now has 11 Shvatim, so Yaakov Avinu, now I can go up against Esav. Zelu umazeh. Therefore, when it says over here, there are many other references, the number 11 is very, there's a lot of discussion, but basically it's the koyach of Esav, this koyach, the koyach of 11, we have to overcome Esav. Therefore, that's why in total, in the Sefer, from beginning to end, there are 11 Havolim. 7 in the beginning of the Sefer, 4 at the end of the Sefer, for a total of 11. Esav is Hevel. Klal Yisrael, the Shiftei Kah, we're above that. We know how to take the koyach of Gashmias and elevate it, transform it for purposes of Kedusha. Esav fails in that matter. Esav is just to take the koyachs of to take the Gashmias and enjoy it for its own purpose. If you're going to take this world and enjoy it for its own purpose, that's Esav. Esav's flag is the number 11.
That's the remnants of Hay and Vav here too.
Hay and Vav also. In Echnam, Yachakol, Havalim, the two, the extra Hay and Vav, now that we've come to the Sefer, that's very good. That's also Hay and Vav, and the total number of 11. So therefore, we have a nice package, but we, Klal Yisrael, we can take the Koich of Gashmias and elevate it, and it completely transforms it to a new Madrega. Let's see the Targum to finish up. The Targum, Pasuk Ches. Kad istakal Shloima Malko di Yisrael Bahavlu di Ol Mohadein. When Shloima Hamelach, when he took view of all of the Havol, the futilities of this world, Uva Havlin of Din Bnei Enasha, and the futilities that man busies himself with. So notice how the Targum very uniquely, how he breaks up the two different types of Havolim. Havel Havolim Amar Koheles. So what's the Havel Havolim? One Havel is the earth, the existence, the very existence of this world is an exercise of futility. And the second expression, he says, the Havel that people do, the activities that man have invented for himself in this world. The world is a place of futility, and man has invented activities that are nonsense, futile. Amar Koheles bin Memra, he said in a statement, the total sum of all this is Hakula Havlu, it is all a waste. Alright, so that's really the summary of the Sefer. Just a few more psukim. We'll continue Mirtz Hashem tomorrow.